listening to BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station.
Breakout Radio Church, now having church services daily at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Central Time. Now, here is Pastor Dale Gentry.
Hey, good Sunday morning, church members. Welcome to Breakout Radio Church. And Gene and I just want to say Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas and welcome, Breakout family. We're so happy that you're joining us today.
Yes,
we
are.
We're so thankful for all of you.
Live from our ministry center here in Austin, Texas, we are broadcasting across America and around the world. We have church members in many, many states and nations, and we are so delighted to have you in church today. All of you church members at BRC, and if you are visiting Breakout Radio Church, we want to welcome you as well. And wherever you may be, at home, alone, or going down the road, or working today, I don't know where you're at, but we just say welcome to Breakout Radio Church. And I have prayed for every member of the church today. In fact, I'm holding every member's names in my hand. Gene and I are holding holding your names in our hands right now. And we are blessing you. We bless you.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Welcome to church on a Sunday morning. And we'll also have service at 10 a.m. Central Time. And then, of course, this service is replayed every morning and evening on bpnradio.com, 8 a.m., 8 p.m. But here we are on a Sunday morning, and, we're a global church comprised we're a global church actually without walls, comprised of members in many different geographical locations across America, a missions church around the globe, responding to Jesus' command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. That's what we're doing today, Gene, preaching to nations of the world. Anywhere there is an internet connection, we are there. And over the last 4 years, we've had over 170 nations that have been listening to bpnradio.com. Many of them contacting us here on Breakout Radio Church. And so we're a house of prayer for all nations. It's great to have you as a part of our service today. And I'm going to be preaching a special Christmas sermon today that God has put in my heart. And but we're going to pray right now because we believe in the power of prayer. Then we're going to have some Christmas. We're going to sing some Christmas songs. First of all, we're going to pray for the service. We also need to pray for one of our church members, Eugene Bullard, who has been bedridden now for over 90 days. Pastor Eugene Bullard had back surgery, and he's still in a rehab center. We need to pray for a miracle for you, Pastor Eugene Bullard. We need to pray today for Gene Massey, one of our elders, who's been suffering this week with vertigo. And we need to pray for one of our members, Thomas Brooks, who is now pastoring a church in a cowboy church in Warwick, Oklahoma. Congratulations to him. Let's pray for him. Pray for my friend, longtime friend, Gary Pack, who's critically ill. He needs a miracle, and he needs it this week. So we're praying for Pastor Gary Pack. We're praying for Carolyn DeLeon's, Dr. Carolyn DeLeon's mom, Deborah, who needs a miracle today, healing today. And those of you that are part of the church, may be participating here at Breakout Radio Church, and you have a need, Gene and I just set ourselves in agreement, joining hands right now, that God is going to minister to whatever need that you might have today, whether it be physically, financially, emotionally, spiritually, whatever it may be.
Yes.
We set ourselves in agreement for you in the name of Jesus. We pray for Eugene Bullard and Thomas Brooks, and we pray for Gene Massey, Elder Gene Massey, James Gary Pack, and we also pray for James Parker today, one of our members who is now leading a Baptist church in Noodle, Texas, preaching this Sunday morning, and then tonight he'll be preaching at True Beat Texas Church of Christ. He's leading a Baptist church and a Church of Christ church, and I've never heard of that, but we pray for him today. Yes. We pray that you'll anoint him, Holy Spirit. And we pray for Carolyn DeLeon's mom, Deborah, and every need that is represented today. Gene and I set ourselves agreement for the service today here at Breakout Radio Church.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen and amen. It's a great week, isn't it, Gene?
Yes, it
is. It's a great week.
You know, Christmas is a wonderful time of the year. I love Christmas time, and it's not just about receiving, but I love to give to others during this season.
Oh,
and
yes.
So I'm so thankful for this season.
Yeah, Gene Gentry said there's givers and then there's takers, and I know that we're givers, and we're very, very thankful. Okay, well, Holy Spirit, come and anoint, and we're going to sing some Christmas songs, and then I'm going to be back to preach the Word. Well, Lord, we just thank you today. We just came, that you came, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Lord, during this Christmas season, we are so thankful that we know you. And you are, of course, the reason for the season. We're grateful today. Thank you, Lord. We worship you this morning at Breakout Radio Church. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Amen and amen. I want you to turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Acts. I want to read this morning from Acts chapter 20. I'm going to read a while and preach a while, and then we are going to pray a while. So glad to have you in church here on this 16th day of December. My. Wow. Beautiful day, sunny day in Austin, Texas. Acts 20. Here's what it says, beginning with verse 1. When it was all over, Paul sent for the disciples, preached a farewell message to them, said goodbye, and left for Greece, preaching to the believers along the way in all the cities he passed through. Verse 17 said, Paul spoke these words when he landed at Miletus. He sent a messenger to the elders of the church at Ephesus, asking them to come down to the boat to meet him. When they arrived, he told them, "You men know that from the day I set foot in Turkey until now, I've done the Lord's work humbly, yes, and with tears, and have faced grave danger from the plots of the Jews against my life. Yet I never shrank from telling you the truth, either publicly or in your homes. I've had one message for Jews and Gentiles alike, the necessity of turning from sin to God through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now I'm going to Jerusalem, drawn there irresistibly by the Holy Spirit, not knowing what awaits me, except that the Holy Spirit has told me in city after city that jail and suffering lie ahead. But life is worth nothing unless I use it for doing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus Christ, the work of telling others the good news about God's mighty kindness and love. And now I know that none of you among whom I went about teaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Let me say plainly that no man's blood can be laid at my door, for I didn't shrink from declaring all God's message to you. And now beware. Be sure that you feed and shepherd God's flock, his church, purchased with his blood, for the Holy Spirit is holding you responsible as overseers. I know full well that after I leave you, false teachers, like vicious wolves, will appear among you, not sparing the flock. Some of you yourselves will distort the truth in order to draw following. Watch out. Remember the 3 years I was with you, my constant watch care over you night and day, and my many tears for you. And now I entrust you to God and his care and to his wonderful words that are able to build your faith and give you all the inheritance of those who are set apart for himself. I've never been hungry for money or fine clothing. You know that these hands of mine work to pay my own way and even to supply the needs of those who were with me. And I was a constant example to you in helping the poor. For I remember the words of the Lord Jesus, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And when he finished speaking, he knelt and prayed with them, and they wept aloud as they embraced him in farewell, sorrowing most of all because he said that he would never see them again. Then they accompanied him down to the ship. Wow, what a wonderful passage of scripture. How did the Apostle Paul want to be remembered? You know, most people are remembered in their lifetime by the final words that they speak. And so many times we say, you know, the last words he said to me was this and that, or the last words that she spoke to me were these words, because it seems like the last words are the most important words that we can speak in our lifetime or when we're about to leave. I remember when Gene and I would pastor churches, lead churches, and the last words that we would speak to that church would be the most important words probably we'd ever spoken. And what did the Apostle Paul talk about when he came to the end of his ministry time there? What were the final words that he said? How did he want it? Most of the time, the final words that we speak are the words we want to be remembered by. And what were his final words? Did he talk about sermons he had preached? Did he talk about all the churches he had started? Did he talk about the several epistles that he was writing or he had written? Did he talk about the many times he had suffered? And he did suffer a lot. In fact, chapter 11 in 2 Corinthians says, Paul said, I've worked much harder, been jailed more often, beaten up more times than I can count, at death's door time after time. I've been flogged 5 times with the Jews, 39 lashes, beaten by Roman rods 3 times, pummeled with rocks once. I've been shipwrecked 3 times. He said, immersed in the open sea for a night and a day, in a hard traveling year, in and out. I've had to ford rivers, fend off robbers, struggle with friends, struggle with foes. I've been at risk in the city, at risk in the country, endangered by desert sun and sea storm, betrayed by those I thought were my brothers. I've known drudgery and hard labor, many a long and lonely night without sleep, missed meal, blasted with the cold, naked to the weather. The Apostle Paul could have talked about all of these things that he's gone through, but this is not what the Apostle Paul wanted to be remembered by. His final words were the words of Jesus. He quoted Jesus, "It's more blessed to give than to receive." That's what he said, the final words. It's more blessed to give than to receive. You know, we're about to celebrate Christmas. And what is Christmas all about? I know we have commercialized Christmas with so many people looking to receive some type of wonderful gift or gadget that they have been wanting, accompanied by many disappointments on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day because they didn't receive the Christmas present they wanted, so many focusing on themselves. And the busiest time of the year is not like December 23rd, 24th. It's December the 26th. What is December the 26th? That's where all these people take their Christmas gifts back because they did not like it. They did not like their Christmas gift, so they're going to go back and exchange the gift for something better. Now, listen, you got to realize that is not what Christmas is all about. Christmas is not about getting. It's not about taking. It's about giving. And I believe that there are only two people groups in the world, the takers and the givers. Some people spend their whole lives storing up so many things so they could take it easy for a few days or a few months or possibly a few years. They set it back. I do believe in setting some money back. That's good. For a rainy day, and I did that once or twice, and then it began to rain, and I gave it all away. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong today, church. I'm not casting aspersions on those of you who are saving up for retirement or those who may be enjoying your retirement. I just have a difficult time getting my head around spending most of my life by giving attention to getting instead of giving. You know, sometimes I struggle as a man who is almost 75 years old. In fact, everybody's invited to my 75th birthday party next February the 21st in Austin, Texas. You're all invited. And sometimes I struggle because I'm almost 75, realizing I don't have very much money to retire on. We don't even have Social Security. We don't own our own home. Gene and I in our 70s, leasing a home. Materially, we have very little, because we chose many years ago that we were going to give it, most of it, all away. We were going to share it. Even when we were pastors and they would take us up Christmas offerings, we would share that with our son and daughter when they were at home. And that's who we are. We are givers. And some people may think, well, Dale and Gene Gentry, you're not very wise. You give it all away. We have given a lot of money away. We've probably given far more over $1 million that's come through our hands into other lives and other ministries. We could have saved it up. Actually, if we tried to keep it all, But that wouldn't have been very wise, because that's not who we are. We are givers. And so it's not about storing up, but it's about what we can give. And this is, there's never a time during the year where that principle can be applied more than this month, December, Christmas time, where we have the opportunity to give. And so Jesus came and he gave his life. God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only begotten son, and Jesus gave his entire life that we might have a life and have it more abundantly. So life is not about what we can store up, but life is about how we can give. And so it's not just the during the Christmas time, but it's a principle that we can live by throughout the year. And why did Gene and I start Breakout Radio Church? So we could be a blessing. We desire to bless you and to help you, and you that are attending BRC across America and nations of the world today, we just want to say that we have came here to be a blessing, encouraging each of you to exemplify the true spirit of Christmas, and the true spirit of Christmas today, that it's more blessed to give than to receive. Excuse me, I'm going to have one little sip of water here. You know, I recently lost a special friend of mine in an automobile accident. My friend Isaiah Robertson, who was an all-pro linebacker in the NFL, who helped the Los Angeles Rams win six straight NFC West titles from 1973 to 1978. He died last week in a three-car crash southeast of Dallas. And his funeral service was conducted this past Friday at Calvary Cathedral in Fort Worth, Texas. I watched online, not able to attend those services. But he was a great man. He was a great football player. Isaiah was selected 10th overall in the first round of the 1971 NFL draft. In the first round, he was 10th overall. He had size, speed, athleticism, no shortage of confidence. And Robertson played in 111 games for the Rams, recording 25 interceptions, 15 fumble recoveries. And then he played 57 games for the Buffalo Bills from 1979 to 1982. He was a six-time Pro Bowl selection, a first-team All-Pro pick in 1973 and 1976. I was able to minister in scores, maybe hundreds of services that Isaiah attended, meeting him back and when I led a prayer revival in Rockwall, Texas in 1990. And then he would he came many, many times when I preached at Calvary Cathedral in Fort Worth, particularly in 1994-95 when I led a 26-week revival. Actually, this stuff went on for 3 years. And every week he would bring his those that were a part of Isaiah's house, he would bring them to Fort Worth. And he just had an amazing testimony. And he shared with me one day how he spent all of his money that he made. He made millions in the NFL, and he spent all of that money on drugs and alcohol, especially cocaine. And here's a portion of Isaiah's testimony that I want to read. He said, after a stellar NFL career at linebacker for the Los Angeles Rams, Robertson dabbled in acting, appearing on Police Woman with Angie Dickinson, and became comfortable with the jet set lifestyle, rubbing shoulders with movie stars and the rich and the famous. However, the money and women drew Robertson into the wrong crowd. He said, I found myself associating with people who looked like and sounded like really cool people, he recalled. Then drugs appeared on the scene. Robertson recalled trying crack cocaine at a Hollywood party. 31 days and $30,000 later, he said, I was strung out on cocaine. He said, I became a junkie. Cocaine cost Robertson his marriage, his career, and all of his money. A near-fatal beating at the hands of a drug dealer in Long Beach in the mid-1980s provided a wake-up call for Robertson. He embarked on a 3-year rehabilitation program, gave his life to Jesus, and he said he's been sober and drug-free since 1988. In 1989, Robertson founded the House of Isaiah, a nonprofit, faith-based, long-term residential drug and alcohol recovery center for men in Maybank, Texas, about an hour's drive east of Dallas. On a 10-point scale, Isaiah Robertson said, I'm a 12 as far as happiness. I'm doing God's will. I'm at peace. I've been forgiven. I have a plan. I'm helping people in my life every single day. And he will be remembered by football fans for his 6 Pro Bowl selections, 25 interceptions, 3 touchdowns. It can be credited to his commitment, size, strength, and speed. But the greatest memories, he says, that he's going to cherish is respect and admire how he brought that commitment and much more off the field when he founded the House of Isaiah Recovery Center 29 years ago. And Isaiah said, I've been a taker for many years, and now I'm going to be a giver. And so in 1989, he started the House of Isaiah, which is still going today, a faith-based alcohol and drug treatment center that has saved and helped over 5,000 young men to reenter society with a goal and purpose in life. Unbelievable what Isaiah's been able to do. He lost all of his money, and now he gave all of his life ministering to young men, particularly some older men, but particularly young men that were bound by alcohol and drugs. And he is over 5,000 young men has gone through his program, helping restore those who are addicted to drugs and alcohol. I've met hundreds and hundreds of those young men as well. And the House of Isaiah has given over 300 college scholarships to young men that came through the program, helping them go through college, get a college education after they were bound by drugs and alcohol. So after losing everything that he had made as a professional football player, he told me one day, he said, Dale, I lost everything. I thought life was not worth living. He said, I took a shotgun and I pulled the trigger. I put it up to my head and he said, I cocked the gun ready to pull the trigger. And the Lord spoke to me, told me, don't do that. I gave my life to Jesus and I started serving him right away. And so he lost it all, and then he gave it all. He lost it all, and then he gave it all. And he said that I decided that I was going to give my life to helping other young men. One of the greatest honors that I ever received when the Dallas Morning News several years ago interviewed Isaiah Robertson about his life and about the House of Isaiah. And he said two of the men that have been most influential in my life were Roger Staubach, former Dallas Cowboy, and Dale Gentry, preacher Dale Gentry. And he talked about the ministry, and that's really what my life is all about, trying to help other people do what God has called them to do what God has put in their hands to do. And I remember being able to preach so many times to Isaiah's house of young men that he would bring to the church, at Church on the Rock in Rockwall, and at Calvary Cathedral in Fort Worth, Texas. And so he gave to others. Isaiah Robertson declared, I'm going to be a giver. And a newspaper article that I read appeared several years ago in one of the local newspapers, and the headlines read, Robertson asked for mentors. And it said former All-Pro linebacker Isaiah Robertson asked the Cedar Creek Lake Kiwanis members to join with him in a new venture Wednesday, becoming mentors for troubled youth through the Home Builders Institute C-Corps program. And it's a way that Robertson is trying to become more available to the Cedar Creek Lake community where he had his House of Isaiah. And he said the C-Corps program through the Home Builders Institute will construct 31 homes. 12 are already finished in the Dallas area, and find needy families to give those homes to. Robertson Explain. Under the program, volunteers mentor a student ages 6 to 18 with the aim of improving job placement and retention in careers associated with the home building industry. A more practical result is the fact that youth who are mentored are far less likely to skip school, start drinking, using drugs, and are more trusting of their parents or guardians. Right now is the toughest time, he said, told those Kiwanis members. And for most of its history, the House of Isaiah has counseled young men from the Dallas area seeking rehabilitation and escape from drugs. What I teach is comeback, Robertson said. Nobody can care about them and motivate them like I can. That's my niche. And the greatest memories we will all cherish, respect, and admire is how he brought that commitment and much more off the field when he founded the House of Isaiah Recovery Center 29 years ago. This work, his passion to help others, not the accolades, fame, or money associated with a football career, is what Isaiah Robertson will be remembered as, his greatest accomplishments. A life well lived, the true spirit of Christmas. What am I talking about? I'm not just paying tribute to a friend of mine, for a longtime friend of mine, Isaiah Robertson, who I love and I will miss, was killed almost instantly in a car wreck last week. But I'm paying tribute to him because he exemplifies the true spirit of Christmas. He was a giver. He gave it all. He gave it all for these young men. He gave his life. He would bring them to church and love on them and make sure that he took them to a church where there was an invitation where they could get saved. And I was able to lead many of those young men to the Lord Jesus Christ, preaching in Rockwall, Texas, and Fort Worth, Texas. Isaiah, a life well spent. You know, so many people, their lives are only for themselves. They're just takers and not givers. You know, Jesus came in contact with a rich young ruler one day. He said, the Bible said, behold, one came and said to him, this is from the book of Matthew. He said, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. He said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder, you don't commit adultery, you don't steal, you don't bear false witness. He said, honor your father and mother, love your neighbors, yourself. And the young man, you know, he was quite happy with what Jesus said. He said, all these things I've kept from my youth. What do I lack? Is there anything more? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have and give to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Give it all away. When the young man heard those words, he went away sorrowfully, for he had great possessions. He'd kept all the commandments, but he could not become a giver. I know of Christians, they love Jesus, they love God, they keep the commandments, they don't go out and sin every day, they live a righteous life, one of the problems is they're stingy. It's all about them. It's all about not having enough. You know, that a lot of Christians have the spirit of poverty, and the spirit of poverty is not lacking enough finances. The spirit of poverty is afraid you're not going to have enough. There's so many people, including Christians, believers, they're afraid they're not going to have enough. They're stingy. They don't give it away. But Jesus loves, the Bible says Jesus loves a cheerful giver, a cheerful giver. But there's so many people today that are not cheerful givers. They hang on to everything. Many of them don't even give God the first 10%. They are not liberal givers. They're tightwads. And I'm not trying to be tacky. I'm just telling the truth. There's a lot of people that are not givers. I understand people that don't know the Lord. You know, when I was a young man, my dad owned a service station in Comanche, Oklahoma, and I was working for him. And the wealthiest man in the whole town of Comanche, he owned thousands of acres. And one day, he called my dad, preacher. He said, preacher, I'm going to give you $20. And my dad was astonished because this man, his first name was Cap, my dad was surprised that he gave him a $20 bill. And it wasn't probably about 20 minutes later, he came back and said, "Mr. Gentry," he said, "Preacher," he said, "I really need that $20 back." And my dad took $20 out of the cash register, gave it back to Cap. He just could not. He could not stand the idea of giving that $20 to my dad, who was running a service station but is also preaching the gospel. And that's the way of a lot of Christians today. They keep a lot of commandments, but they sow sparingly. You know, Paul said, "I'm going to make my own way." But here's what Paul said of the church at Corinth, in case you're thinking about, well, you know, Paul made his own living. He didn't need the church to support him. But here's what he said. He said, "This I say to the church at Corinth, this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he is dispersed abroad, he's given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever." Now, here's what Paul said. "Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food." You know, when money comes into your hand, some of it is to give, and some of it is to eat. There's a lot of people, they take everything and they store it up. And so there's some things that enter into your hands. It's not yours to keep. It's yours to give. And, you know, a group of ministers, and I've told this story before, but a group of ministers years ago, they gave me a 1955 Thunderbird, beautiful red and white convertible T-Bird. I loved it. I'd always wanted one. And then a man came by from India, spiritual son of mine, who needed a van to preach the gospel to those in India. God spoke to me, and Gene and I gave my T-Bird away. I sold my T-Bird so I could buy him a new van. It was not mine to keep. It was mine to sow. And so I sowed into his van. But that has been my heart. I've lived a life, Gene and I have lived a life of sowing and reaping, sowing and reaping. We have very little money in the bank, very little money in savings. You say, well, maybe you've not been very wise. Maybe not, but we've got a lot of money in the kingdom of God. We've got a lot of seed in the ground, and we have to trust God every month for our finances. We have 9 people on our payroll. We trust God for our salary, and we trust God for their salary. But we have learned a very invaluable lesson, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. More blessed to give than to receive. And here's a principle that we have learned. There's a difference that we've learned between the tithe and the seed. The tithe, the first 10% belongs to God. He said, "Bring all the tithe into the storehouse." Where is that? That is where you get your spiritual food. If you have a church, that's your primary church where you have a pastor there and spiritual food, that first 10% belongs there. If Breakout Radio Church and Pastor Dale Gentry is your primary source of spiritual food, and this is your church, then your tithe belongs here. And then after that, the other 90% actually belongs to God also. But some of it is for bread, that's for your house, that's for your car, that's for your food. But some of it is to give away. That's above your tithe. Your tithe is not your seed. That tithe already belongs to God. It's not you. That's why the prophet said, "Will anybody rob God?" When you take that first 10% and you do something else with it, you are robbing God. Man shall not rob God. That's God's first 10%. That's God's money already. Then the other 90% is some for bread, for what you need for your monthly or weekly bills. And then some of it is seed money. don't eat your seed. And so Isaiah Robertson, he gave everything. He gave his life. And what does he have left? He is sowed into over 5,000 young men. And so Jesus told the rich young ruler, he said, you need to give it all. Give it all. And the Bible said he went away sorrowfully. And, there was a man, the Bible says also in the book of Matthew, there was a man that came to Jesus. He was in one of his services, and he came out of the crowd and said, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to them, I'm not going to be a judge or an arbiter over that. He said, but you got to be aware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, what shall I do? With all of this, I don't have any more room to store my crops. So he said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to pull down my barns. I'm going to tear down my barns, and I'm going to build bigger barns. I'm going to store all of my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, be merry. Relax. Take it easy. But God said to him, you're a fool. This night your soul is going to be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you provided? So he says, lay up treasures for heaven. I do have an insurance policy that when I go that Gene will be taken care of. But right now, we're here to sow seeds. We're here to be a blessing. And everything we have belongs to God. And we are givers. When it comes into our hands, it does not stay. It goes through our hands. We give our tithes, and then we sow seeds into people's lives. We're always giving, 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 because that's the heart of Christmas. That's the heart of God. That's the heart of Jesus. And we realize that everything we have does not belong to us. Belongs to God. Belongs to God. Belongs to God. And we have learned that the value of giving is incredible. It is incredible to be a giver and not a taker. We have learned that the value of the seed is greater than the value of the sale. Listen to me. The value of the seed is greater than the value of the sale. What does that mean? That means that very few times since we have gone into the ministry 51 years ago, very few times have we ever sold anything. We give it away. Furniture, cars, a house. We were given a house. We gave the house away. Furniture, cars, clothes, we give it away. And I'm a giver. It's more blessed to give than to receive. The spirit of Christmas. I want to have the spirit of Christmas on December the 24th, December the 25th, but I want to be a giver. And I want to be a generous giver. I don't want to sparingly give. I want to go through life giving. I remember I was ministering in London, England several years ago, and they received an offering. And Gene and I made it a purpose years ago that we would give in every offering. We would give something. We would give something. And so I remember there, sitting there, and I looked, went into my pocket, and all I had was a dollar, and I got ready to give. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, are you just going to give a dollar? I said, that's all I have. He said, no, you have more. I said, where is it at? He said, it's on your wrist. And I looked at my wrist, and I had a Gucci watch that cost $600 that someone had given to me. I said, God, you're not talking about my Gucci, are you? And the Lord said, you're going to give a dollar? You're going to give a Gucci. So I took my Gucci watch off, and I put it in the offering, and I felt good about it. I felt good about it. I could have given a dollar, but I'm a bountiful giver. And sometimes we give some, and sometimes we give it all. I remember Gene and I ministering in England years ago, and I was receiving an offering for them to build a for them to purchase a building for their church. They were meeting in a theater, and the Holy Spirit said, "Give everything that you receive." That was, I believe that was over $5,000. Give everything that you receive here. Give it all. Leave it all. Don't take any of it back to America. So I gave it all. Even when we got to the airport, I had a few pounds in my pocket, and I gave it to the man that drove us to the airport. And Gene and I left with nothing in our pockets that we'd received. I'm not bragging on myself. I'm just talking about the life of the giver. The life of the giver. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And the Apostle Paul, the final words he had for those that he had been mentoring and ministering to, he said, I have one more thing to say. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And I know that a lot of people get so blessed when they have gifts. And when this group of pastors gave me that 1955 T-Bird convertible, it was an award-winning show car, I was so happy. But I want to tell you the day that I sold that car and gave it to a missions work in India, I was more happy. I've always been more happy when I gave it than when I received it. Hallelujah! So today, don't be tight-fisted with God. Say, God, everything I have is yours. It's not mine. It's yours. And if you want me to keep it, I will. But I'll keep it on reserve until someone needs it. Someone needs it. And today, may we, as sons and daughters of God, may we declare, I am going to be a giver. I'm going to be a giver. I'm going to be a giver. I will not be a taker. And I just want to pray for you right now. I'm going to pray for you in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Father, I pray. Lord, I pray for people today. I pray for people today that are listening to the sound of my voice here, Breakout Radio Church. I pray, Lord, that they will demonstrate, exemplify the spirit of Christmas by being willing to give. Not just giving to people that are able, not just, Christmas is not just about exchanging gifts, it's about giving. I would take my children out when they were small, and we would wrap up gifts, and we would take them to children, other children, that we knew that were poor, may not have any Christmas, or maybe to a widow woman. And my kids would get out with me. We'd knock on the door. We'd say, we want to come and bring you a gift. I'm not saying it's wrong to exchange gifts. My family and I will do that. But that's not the true spirit of Christmas. The true spirit of Christmas is giving. Not just on December 24th, 25th, 26th, or 27th. It's throughout the year. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And Gene and I, we want to go through life as givers and not takers. We want to freely we have received and freely give. And we want to do that. We're here to be a blessing to you at Breakout Radio Church. We have given our lives for the gospel, for the sake of the gospel. Hallelujah. We want to finish strong by giving what we have. And today, I've given you a message that I've been preparing for you. It's like a woman, a wife or a mother, preparing a wonderful meal for her children, her family. That's what I like to do every week. I like to prepare a wonderful meal. And you know, a wonderful meal is, you just don't put it in somewhere in a microwave, but what you do is you put it, it takes a long time to prepare a good meal. It takes a long time to prepare a good meal. I've been preparing this meal for you today. I trust that you'll receive it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Would you receive the words that I've given to you today? It's more blessed to give than to receive. If you don't know the Lord, I want to give you an opportunity to receive the greatest gift that could ever be given, the gift of eternal life. And I want to ask you one question, and I've asked this to thousands and thousands of people. Where are you going to spend eternity? If you were to die today, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? People give me different answers. Some people say, well, I'm a member of a Baptist church. I'm a Catholic. I'm this or that. I'm a good man. But have you asked Jesus to come into your heart and forgive you of your sins? Receive the gift of salvation. It's free. I'm going to give it to you today through the blood of Jesus, through the name of Jesus. I'm going to give you the message today, and Jesus is going to give you eternal life. Would you say these words after me? Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you arose on the third day. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. And with your strength and help, I'm going to live for you and serve you all the days of my life. Thank you, Jesus. If you said those words and believed them in your heart, your name is now written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You have eternal life, and share that message with other people. Let somebody know, I accepted Jesus today, Breakout Radio Church. If you'd like to be a member of the church, all you have to do is go to bpnradio.com, bpnradio.com, and click on Donate. And go to bpnradio.com and click on Breakout Radio Church, and you can click on the membership. There's no charge to be a member. Click on the membership, and you can fill that out. And now I get to donate. If you'd like to give today, your tithes and your contributions to Breakout Radio Church, now you can click on the Donate button. You can use your PayPal, credit card, debit card. And if you want to make a check, you can make your check to Breakout Ministries, P.O. Box 91985, Austin, Texas 78709. P.O. Box 91985, Austin, Texas 78709, if you want to give. I want to make it clear, there's a difference between being a member and joining the church today and giving. It doesn't cost to become a member of Breakout Radio Church. Go to Breakout Radio Church, fill out the membership link. And if you want to give your tithes and contributions, all you do is go to bpnradio.com and you click on the Donate button. I want to pray for you. Father, I pray blessings upon those today that are giving their tithes and their contributions. I pray that you would bless them abundantly. I pray that you would bless them bountifully. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I pray for those today that don't have anything to give at the moment. It may appear they don't have anything to give. A man said, I went to church and I didn't think I had anything to give, but I had a pencil and I put it in the offering plate. I put it in the offering bag or the offering bucket. Hallelujah. What is it that we have to give? I thought that day that I only had a dollar to give, but I had a wonderful watch on my wrist. Give what you have. God does not expect you to give something you don't have. But give whatever you can. And what happens? God said, I'm going to take that and multiply it. Give and it shall be given. Jesus said in Luke, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall other people give to you? I know it works. I know it works. Giving. For Jesus himself said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I believe that. In Jesus' name, I bless all of you for coming today. And I just want to, we got a lot of members. And I'm thankful. If you need help, you just send me an email or give me a call. And we have a new church number. Just give me a call at 512-633-0966, 512-633-0966. Or my personal email address is Dale Gene Gentry at cs.com. You can even private message me by going to Dale W. Gentry Facebook page. Dale W. Gentry Facebook page. Send me a private message. I'll pray for you. I'll call you. However I can serve you, because I want to be a blessing. I bless you, John, there from Ajax, Ontario, Canada. I bless you, Lemuel, from Temecula, California. I bless you, Pauline, from Las Vegas, Nevada. I bless you. I bless you, Jane, from Covington, Louisiana. I just speak a blessing on all of you today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. From all of our team here at Breakout Prayer Network, bpnradio.com, Breakout Ministries, we will have a Christmas service next Sunday, the 23rd. But I bless you now, wherever you may be, whatever you may be doing. Church again at 10 a.m. this morning. I appreciate Dr. Elizabeth Vaughn. She preaches every Sunday morning, one of our members, before I minister at 8 a.m. And she's had the opportunity to minister to millions of people these past 10 days. Nigeria, Africa. God bless you, Dr. Vaughn. And my pastor, Bill Hart, from Austin Cathedral. He'll be preaching next, and then we'll be back having another service at 10. I just bless y'all. Bless you. Thank you. God bless you for giving. God bless you for coming to church today. I sure love you. Just want to say Merry Christmas. Have a wonderful day. Bless you, Michael, for working today. Bless you, Aliona. Bless you, Ruth, for your management of the bpnradio.com. I love all of you. Have a wonderful day.